On season 5, episode 2 of the Colts Corner podcast, the boys will discuss the MLB World Series outcome and NFL Week 7 and Week 8. Colts Corner. Season 5, episode 2 is underway. I have Tyler Wichman to my left, Christian Selmayr in front of me, and Matthew Pastier over here, diagonal of me. How are we doing today, guys?
He's about 30 degrees west of north.
45.
We'll say 45.
Solid, but I'd say more like 47.
Constantine, you also forgot Halloween theme topic of the week at the end. I'm sure there'll be some exciting candy debates, but...
And some Tyler? Poor takes from Tyler Wichman with his terrible
Oreo is not a candy debate. Thank you.
But alas, we got to talk about the MLB World Series, guys. Dodgers taking it home. What do we think about that?
Yeah, obviously hard fought series from everybody, but the Dodgers were able to pull away with it 6-2 after making a big gamble. Trading for Mookie Betts. Well, I'm not sure it was a big gamble. They knew he was going to perform. Just a lot of money to take on.
Huge contract.
But, huge contract. But Mookie Betts performed. He did what he had to do, and the Dodgers defeated the Rays 3-1. And a controversial decision that I think everybody was talking about after the game. The decision to pull Blake Snell out of the game. He allowed, I believe, only a run and two hits, maybe. In the entire game, they pulled him out in the fifth inning. What's your opinion on that, guys?
He had two innings left, at least. Two solid innings.
You never know what's going on behind the scenes and something like that. Maybe it was bothering him, and he was ready to fight through it, but the coach said, no, we're going to pull you just in case of a future injury.
But it's the World Series.
Yeah, right. It is the World Series, but if you lose 5 years off your career for one game, is it really worth it?
But you're playing all these games for a World Series.
Yeah, but this season could potentially have an asterisk to it, so I don't know how willing the guys were to go out. Asterisk. And willing to go out and sacrifice their bodies and everything that they have for this World Series. We actually have a clip from after the game, post-game interview from Blake Snell asked about him being pulled.
Definitely disappointed, upset. You know, I don't know. I just want the ball. I felt good. I did everything I could to, you know, prove my case to stay out there. And then for us to lose, you know, it sucks. I don't really know what to say, you know. I want to win, and I want to win the World Series, and that's the goal. So for us to lose, it just sucks.
Yeah, Blake Snell saying that he felt good. He felt like he was going to go out there and give everything he had, that he was going to play the rest of the game pretty well. And ultimately, he was pulled by manager Kevin Cash in the fifth. Now, it's obviously known that Kevin Cash is a heavy analytics guy, heavy numbers guy. Do you think that this new trend, not just in baseball, but in sports in general, with the over-reliance on analytics, do you think that's hurting the game, or do you think it's making people smarter?
I think, like, sometimes yes and no. I think definitely focusing more on stats is good for any sport. But when it gets to the point where you're, like, afraid to, like, overwork yourself or overwork a player, like, because, oh, analytics, if, like, sometimes you just need to let the guys get out there and play. Yeah. But I think that it's not necessarily the more analytics the better. I think there's a point where there can be too much. But I think at that sweet spot where you're combining analytics and stats with just letting the guys play, I think that's a sweet spot. Not just baseball, but for every sport.
Yeah, you always got to go with the hot hand, though. Snell's doing good, you got to keep him in. Can't just take him out. Like, it goes for every sport. Unless you're like... Mike Singletary, who's like, yo.
Mike, I forgot about Mike Singletary. Thank you for reminding me. He pulled out, like, Vernon Davis, I believe, when Davis, superstar tight end, he pulled him out middle of the game. And his reasoning was that in the 1980s, if you were playing bad no matter who you were, playing subpar no matter who you were going to get pulled out regardless.
You want to talk about people getting pulled? Matt Harvey, 2015 World Series, Terry right. Collins, and letting him actually not get pulled out.
Let me stay in the game.
Letting him stay in the game, which is a very controversial decision, and the Mets ultimately went on to lose that game and lose the World Series 4-1 to the KC Royals. I remember at the time was very outraged at the decision by Terry Collins to keep Matt Harvey in the game. A lot of people accused Matt Harvey of pressuring Terry Collins to stay in, but I mean, ultimately, you're the manager. You can do what you want, so I definitely think Terry Collins should have pulled Matt Harvey 5 years ago. Yeah.
Also, can't forget about what happened with Derrick Rose all the way back when in the playoffs game, they were up like 10 with 2 minutes left, and he winds up tearing his ACL.
Stop. You're making me like cry.
Ruining his Don't career. Do it. They, pretty much
That's
still
the Knicks
today.
Head coach now.
So
Constantine.
I didn't make the decision. It wasn't my
Why
choice.
Why would you hire him?
I don't know. You know, Tom Thibodeau, really good discipline guy, really has the locker room. All of his players love his coaching style. So
I Just
no
like
idea.
Every other Knicks coach.
Yeah, like every other yeah. Knicks coach.
This one's going to be different.
I'm just going to say Matt Miller should be our coach this year. Matt Miller should Matt be our Miller. Coach this year. Matt Miller.
You mean Mike Miller?
Mike Miller.
Mike Miller.
Mike
yeah.
Miller. Matt Miller.
Mike
Who's
Miller.
Matt Miller?
I honestly.
Matt Miller's the Bleacher Report guy. Mike Miller.
Mike Miller. I thought he was a very excellent
There's
coach.
There's a lot of Millers in sports.
Even though he was an interim coach and we
story.
Didn't do too good. Oh. We got a.
Yeah, but getting on track, that's a little bit too much basketball. Just one more thing before we move on from that. The Philadelphia 76ers recently hired a former Rockets executive, Daryl Morey, to run their basketball operations. 76ers lost a very very tough playoff series to the Boston Celtics, who would eventually go on to the Eastern Conference Finals, I believe. Just quickly, what do we think of this move? Do you think it can save the 76ers from the disappointment of that series and hopefully push them on to actually have the process work out for them in the long run?
I don't know. I think they were at a perfect point with Jimmy Butler last season. I think they just need that one more piece of superstar talent to really get them to where they need to be. They have all the little pieces in place. They have all the right role players. They have players like Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons. But they just need that one, in my opinion, big superstar to really help them step it up. So I don't know if this is going to be the big thing. Maybe it will be. But I see some improvement, but I don't think it's going to be that much of a drastic improvement.
I don't see the Sixers going anywhere. If you couldn't get any, Brett Brown couldn't take them anywhere. He was not a good coach. They had Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris. They had Boban, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and they got nowhere. Well, they got somewhere, but then Kawhi Leonard was like, yo, the basketball.
High School West almost made it to the finals. Yeah. That would have been pretty
West
crazy.
High School West, very well, he's doing pretty well for himself financially right now, so yeah. I'm not too
that
concerned.
That would have been cool to see one of, if you did not know, Tobias Harris is a graduate of Hafele Hall's High School West. He was a tremendous basketball player for the Colts, and he is a tremendous basketball player in the NBA.
I already listens to this podcast weekly with LeBron.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get together.
Okay, Tyler.
They get together and debate.
Obviously,
it.
LeBron has more important things. Michael Jordan is definitely listening.
But moving forward, NFL
Wait,
is.
We didn't talk about Justin Turner.
Oh, that is very important. Line. That's a, excuse me for that. But for those of you who don't know, Los Angeles Dodgers Justin Turner, diagnosed with COVID-19, goes onto the field to celebrate. Could be facing some disciplinary actions from the league. Opinions on this unfortunate turn of events.
You're also kind of forgetting the fact that his test the day before came back inconclusive, and then the day they let him play, and then in the middle of the game the test comes back inconclusive, and then they or the test comes back positive, and then they pull him out. I feel like that's just wrong on the MLB. And you guys were giving props to them a week earlier on how they handled the coronavirus.
But because we didn't know this.
I wasn't here.
Yeah, we really weren't aware that this.
I didn't say anything.
Allowing a player, allowing yeah. a player to play
Jordan
when their previous test came back inconclusive. It's just irresponsible.
Yeah, I'm not mad at Justin Turner. Obviously, winning the World Series, it's very emotional, and especially when he just got his diagnosis, very like minutes before, he didn't have much time. He probably wasn't even thinking about it. Just when you win a championship like that, your first thought isn't, I was just diagnosed with Corona. It's, no, my team worked so hard the whole year to win a World Series, and I'm sure we just overcome with emotion. But I got to agree with Tyler that I'm more angry at the people who had allowed it to happen than Justin Turner himself.
Yeah, obviously, definitely an ill-advised decision from him, but he was probably very overcome with emotions. Obviously, it's not 100% excusable, but you could potentially see where he was coming from there, what was going through his head. And obviously, congratulations to him. He's a World Series champion, and hopefully the MLB doesn't come down too hard on him.
And hopefully he recovers from COVID-19.
Yeah, that is probably the most important here. All of our blessings to Justin Turner, who I also hear is a frequent listener of the Colts Corner podcast as well. All right.
Okay, Constantine. Baseball players don't listen to the podcast. No. Only NFL, NBA, and Derek Jeter.
Well, moving forward, week 8 is coming up, but last week, week 7, Thursday Night Football, Eagles-Giants, the Giants had a bit of a tough game.
I don't remember that game.
Giants had a bit of a tough game, lost to the Eagles 22-21. Eagles came back from a 21-10 deficit with a Boston Scott touchdown.
Because Jabril Peppers doesn't know how to cover a 4'7" guy.
And Daniel Jones had himself a decent game, 20 for 30, 187 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, an INT, and an 80-yard gallop into the 20-yard line. It was a very, very good run, but unfortunately, he couldn't stay upright and tripped.
Yeah, I think
the interception was Evan Ingram's fault. Sorry.
I think we have a soundbite to play regarding that clip, Constantine. That was the rumor.
Why are you eating sound?
Yeah. Unfortunately, we do not have the
soundbite ready. Well, I thought, okay, unfortunately.
Podcast is over.
Daniel Jones, and asked about it, he just said he was running too fast, and he kind of just tripped and fell. It happens. But Daniel Jones, that game, 92 yards on 4 attempts. That's 23 yards per carry, which that game, he technically dominated the NFL in yards per carry that game. 23 yeah. yards per carry, even though, like, 90% of that was from one rush. It's a pretty impressive stat on paper.
Yeah, look, I'll contribute the 20 yards per carry to him no matter what. It's very hard to run 80 yards at what was he running at, like 21.6 miles.
21.2 miles.
21.2
miles. Actually faster than Lamar Jackson, whose top speed this season is 21 miles.
Lamar Jackson since 2018.
Well, Daniel Jones, honestly, Daniel Jones, a very underrated runner, in my opinion. I think anyone who's watched his games has seen that. But right now he's facing a lot of criticism. I was actually talking to Matt about this yesterday, about how people are too hard on him and that people are thinking that they could potentially go out and get another quarterback. So, Matt, thoughts on Daniel Jones' performance thus far and if he's getting too much blame?
He is a really bad O-line, the most drops in the NFL by receivers, and he hasn't had all of his weapons healthy, and the people are just blaming him. Some of his interceptions have been dropped passes. It's not his fault. He has, like, one overthrow every once in a while, but it's like, what are you going to do with all that pressure?
And if you watch the games, he breaks so many close tackles. When I was watching the game, I was, like, blown away by how he's really good at getting out of tough situations sometimes, like evading defenders. Even like, he's getting used to that bad O-line. He's doing good at evading defenders, in my opinion. I think he's good at breaking some good tackles. So I think I got to give him some props to that. I mean, he does have some trouble holding onto the ball in terms of giving up some fumbles. But I think he's a pretty accurate thrower. And I think I see a lot of room for improvement. And I think a lot of the flaws in the Giants' offense do not stem from Daniel Jones. They stem from a variety of other factors, like Matt said.
Especially the coaching change with the new system.
Yeah, it's definitely hard for a young quarterback to adjust to a new system. Obviously, ball security was something people were worried about with Daniel Jones coming out of college. But I think, what else are you going to expect this early into his career? He's thrown to one of the worst situations in the league. And
next
it's really,
to the Jets.
It's next to the Jets, unfortunately, both New York teams. It's truly unfair that he's getting all of this criticism thrown at him when most of it isn't his fault. And moving on to the New York Jets, who lost to the Buffalo Bills 18-10. This was the first game that offensive coordinator Dowell Loggins was calling plays, and the Jets, unfortunately, still were handed the L with only 4 yards of offense in the second half to show for it. It was a very, very tough performance. I'm still on my Jets boycott as of week 8, 2020, until the New York Jets fire Adam Gase. I will not be wearing any Jets paraphernalia or representing New York Jets in any way.
At Matt O'Leary.
You know, they looked good. They looked good in the first half.
They looked very solid in the first
half. It was 10-0. And then I guess the Buffalo Bills just figured out their offense.
Yep.
And figured out the Jets' offense. And it was just over from there.
Someone I want to highlight, though, from the Jets' offense, though, rookie wide receiver Denzel Mims making his first start. Seven targets, four receptions for 42 yards, and got two first downs and one catch to send them into the red zone there. He really had a nice performance there. He looked really good controlling his body to get the catches, and he moved pretty well. He unfortunately didn't get a whole bunch of targets, but he really showed out in his first game. And like Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold has faced a lot of criticism thus far this season, with a lot of people speculating that the Jets could go a different direction in the draft. If the New York Jets have the chance to draft Trevor Lawrence, do you think that he should stay in college or he should embrace the opportunity and head to New York?
I think if Trevor Lawrence believes in himself and that if he thinks that he's a top once-in-a-generation player, if he thinks he can turn around a franchise, I think he's going to take the gamble and enroll in the draft. And if the Jets are the worst team in the league at the end of the season, then he'll be on the Jets. I think if he really, you know, pushes himself, I think he can lead them to be a better team. I mean, he's an incredible player, incredible quarterback. But I honestly don't see him not – I don't see him staying in college. I know people thought Joe Burrow was going to do that last season, but Joe Burrow did not do that. He went to the Bengals, who were – very terrible team last year. So I think if the Jets end up being the worst team, I think he's going to enroll in the draft.
I think in general it's a better idea to just finish out college, get that experience in there. I just feel like the experience of getting all 4 years in college is just better for a quarterback to develop once they are in the NFL. And then just in general, to have the college degrees much better than to just have 2 years of college under your belt.
Yeah, personally, if I'm a top-tier level quarterback in college like Trevor Lawrence, I'm not so focused on experience because he's been starting since his freshman year, since his true freshman season. So I'm really not worried too much about experience. He's dominated the ACC. He's played some really close, tough games with other teams like Alabama. Unfortunately, the LSU game kind of got away from him, but he played a solid game there. He played a decent game at Ohio State. So if I'm him, I'm really not worried about experience. I'm more worried about the Jets overall lack of organizational sanity and the ineptitude going on in the organization. I'm not entering that situation. That is an organization that I'm staying as far away as I am.
I don't think he would change his decision based on what team he would go to, though. Because no matter what happens, if you're the best player in that draft, you're going to
the worst team.
Also,
yeah, I get.
So there's really nothing he could do unless he, like, fakes an injury.
I get that. But, like, the Bengals as a team were a bad team record-wise, but the organization I would be fine going to.
Yeah, I mean,
the Jets organization I'm not fine going to.
The Bengals are not a terrible organization as a whole, but they're never good. They're just one of those teams that'll never be good.
They've made the playoffs many
times.
So many times.
So many times.
I remember when we were in like sixth
grade.
Dalton. The Andy Dalton.
They started out the season 7-0 that year.
Yeah. Then what'd they finish? 8-8?
What?
They
made
the playoffs.
They
made the playoffs.
They can't win.
I think they lost the wild card game.
Yeah, they can't. They haven't won a playoff game since the 1990s,
didn't they go
I think.
To like 10 in a row or something?
They went to an insane amount of playoffs in a row with Carson Palmer and then Andy Dalton and AJ Green before they broke him. they were doing
the AB injury, right? It was the last time they were in the playoffs. When Vontaze Burfict was
Antonio
Vontaze Brown, give you concussion.
Yeah, that was the last time they were in the playoffs, and Andy Dalton was an absolute stud, and he was actually coincidentally hit with a dirty hit from I forget who. But he didn't look well. He was, I think, knocked out too. But that was a tough game. And Stephen A. Smith, everyone's favorite here at the Colts Corner podcast, also gave his opinion on if Darnold should stay in college. Trevor Lawrence should stay in college.
Darnold should stay in college.
Yeah, I would have if I was him. but this was what Stephen A. had to say.
Look at the Jets organization from an organizational perspective, owner, which is why it's not about their record. It's about the perpetual ineptitude of the organization, from Woody Johnson down to his brother, right on down to the GM, who, by the way, was picked by the coach, by the coach who never deserved his job to begin with, let alone the license to pick the GM.
So Stephen A., obviously.
I love Stephen A. Smith.
Me too. I think everyone does. He obviously has some strong feelings about Adam Gase and the Jets organization as a whole.
He's a comical fellow.
Yeah, but moving forward with that one, we have a couple games next week. The New York Giants will be playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, big news on the Giants. Will Hernandez got coronavirus.
Yeah, I saw something. I heard earlier in the day it was an unnamed player. And they quarantined a couple of their tackles, I believe.
Speaking of the Buccaneers, just real quick, I want to highlight their game against the Raiders. 45-20, Tom Brady, 370 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. He had an amazing game.
A rushing touchdown, too.
And a rushing touchdown. That, Tampa Bay offense is honestly incredible. You have Fournette. You have Gronk. Gronk, he had 92 yards and a touchdown in that game. You have Chris Godwin.
He's hurt, sadly.
Yeah.
But they are getting Antonio Brown soon.
No, he's hurt now. He's not.
He's hurt now.
Yeah.
For some reason, he hasn't played football.
He's always hurt.
Leonard Fournette, Mike Evans.
I love Chris
Gronk. Ronald Jones. I mean, that offense is just incredible, and I think they're really settling in.
Do they still have LeSean McCoy?
I haven't heard his name in a while.
I haven't heard anything about him. I just know he was.
They have so much talent on that team that if they were missing LeSean McCoy, it really wouldn't make a difference. Yeah.
I think that Week 7 game against the Raiders is when that offense clicked. When all the pieces fell together.
And now it's going to get destroyed.
And, the Giants.
Antonio Brown.
Yeah, with Antonio Brown coming.
Jabril Pepper is going to send Tom Brady to bed.
I do not
want to.
I don't know if I'm going to watch that game.
I
didn't watch any football Sunday. I couldn't watch football Sunday. Yeah. After Thursday.
Big Monday night matchup of the Buccaneers who are just absolutely going to obliterate the Giants.
Yeah. With Antonio Brown, though.
Or we'll win that and we'll just lose to Washington.
Antonio Brown is now on
with
the
Antonio Brown, do you think there are so many weapons on that team? Do you think Antonio Brown will be able to fit in with that offense? Or
do you think
he's going to make a
scene? I think that was a mistake. Antonio Brown is just a bomb to the locker room.
The only reason I think
locker room he goes to is just absolutely ruined because of him.
Patriots locker room.
Antonio Brown.
Different organization than the Buccaneers, though. Because the Patriots are very set on everything they do. You got to act a certain way. You got to be a certain type of player.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But if I'm Antonio Brown, I'm going to be very grateful and thankful for this opportunity. Like originally, Bruce Arians, coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, said that he wouldn't want Antonio Brown and the organization. He'd think it'd be a detriment to the organization. And then Tom Brady played the LeBron GM card, and he's able to get whoever he wants on the team.
But he did not trade away Godwin.
Not trade away his young players for Antonio Brown. So thankfully, he's not a lot like avid listener of the Colts Corner podcast, LeBron James. But if I'm Antonio Brown, I'm so grateful for this opportunity. I'm excited to go there. You got a great quarterback in Tom Brady. The greatest quarterback, Tom Brady. And I'm excited, and I'm ready to contribute to the team. So if I'm Antonio Brown, I'm stopping everything that I was doing and really getting in line here. So I don't think he'll be an issue. I think all he'll do is put up stats.
Yeah, so I think there's going to be some controversial takes in the topic of the week segment, so I think we got to move on. Got to get those in.
Tyler.
So with it being 2 days away from Halloween, I think we're going for a bit of a Halloween theme for this podcast. So who wants to share their spooky topic of the week?
Spooktacular, dare I say. I would like to go first.
All right.
Okay, so my topic of the week is the best costume you've been.
I don't think I've ever been like a costume that I'm proud of.
As a young kid, I was more of an athlete type of guy. I'd wear a jersey. I'd wear the pants.
Peter Venkman, Ghostbusters.
One year.
Really? Yeah. That's pretty cool. You wore a proton pack. That's pretty cool.
1 year I was SpongeBob. I was very young and I was SpongeBob and it was a great costume.
I was Lightning McQueen once.
how would that work?
Because they just have like the thing you put over and just like you're a car.
I was Bugs Bunny from Space Jam 1 year. I think Matt remembers that.
I remember the referee.
Specifically from Space Jam.
Specifically from Space Jam. Like,
not to
Toon
be confused
Squad
with
jersey
the Looney
Bugs
Tunes
Bunny
movie.
Hat. What?
Not to be confused with not the Looney Tunes movie of the name Looney Tunes.
And not that one specific episode that I believe debuted in around 1936 where Bugs Bunny was rather large than normal. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to give you any more details. Just there was one episode where Bugs Bunny, I don't know exactly how, but he ballooned to a larger size than his normal self, and that became famed in internet history.
Thank you for sharing. Anyone else Christian? Want to share their topic? Their spooky topic of the week.
Christian, wait, what was Christian?
No, do the one that you were talking about earlier.
Okay,
that was a good one.
My topic of the week, I know they're very hit or miss. So, candy corns, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
I haven't had them enough to give an articulated opinion, so I'm going to pass on this one.
It's just you have them once and you
I honestly don't remember. I think
candy.
I like
candy
them.
Corn. It's,
I think I like
it's
them.
Honestly, it's very
yeah,
good.
We got a no.
We got a no from
Mr.
Doxy.
With the no.
I don't know. Like, I understand candy corns are very divisive, but they honestly, I don't know how you can hate them.
I think they're really good. I don't think they're something you could have year round.
Yeah.
They're good if you have them for like a month. And, like, you don't go past that.
Nowadays, you got the Christmas candy corn, the Valentine's candy corn. Just give
me
good old-fashioned pumpkin
candy corn.
Candy corn.
Like, you have Skittles year-round. You have
M&M's
year-round.
Kids July 4th candy corn.
The July, yeah. You can have candy. Candy corn is exclusively Halloween. I think, like what Tyler said, I think if you had candy corn all year-round, you'd get kind of sick of it. But for Halloween, for October, I'm liking candy corn.
Okay. Who's going to go next?
I think I'll go next. I think my topic of the week would have to be top three Halloween candies.
Why Halloween candies? Why not
because
just candies?
Because it's
isn't it the same thing?
So you can include candy corn that you have
okay.
on Halloween.
Yeah, but
sweet Halloween treats.
Sweet Halloween treats.
Delectable.
Thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
Delectable.
Okay.
Because we're not getting into a what is candy versus not candy debate. Anything,
Tyler.
Something that tastes sweet that you eat during Halloween.
Okay, I'll lead.
Oh, no.
Number one has got to be Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
It's definitely up there. It's
up there.
It's definitely top 15.
It's just the best. Number two, I'm going to have to go Kit Kat.
Kit Kat bars, yes. I love Kit Kat bars.
Yeah,
they're
Kit
pretty
Kat
good.
Bars.
And then number three, I'm going to go Snickers.
I feel Snickers are very
underrated.
Controversial.
They're so
very
underrated.
Overlooked.
They're very
okay.
overlooked.
I think
so good.
Snickers are a very mid-tier candy. Like, it's
you're
not,
not
something.
You when you're hungry.
Like, Snickers and Twix, I feel like, are kind of on the same, like,
no,
parallel.
No, they're not.
But Twix is so much
Snickers
better.
Is better
no,
than
they,
Twix.
They have
better.
Such
Snickers
striking similarities.
Twix is like a worse version of a Kit Kat.
That's how? Kit Kat's a wafer.
Yeah, but they give you, like, a similar.
No,
okay.
They don't have a
left
similar.
Or right Twix.
It's
the same thing.
Remember, we agreed not to get political on this podcast.
But top three Halloween candies for me, I'm gonna have to go Skittles. My number one. Skittles, my number one favorite candy
Skittles.
Of all time. I love Skittles.
The door.
Skittles.
No, number two gotta be Twix, and number three, Reese's peanut butter cups.
I gotta go number one Reese's. That peanut butter chocolate flavor
yes.
in your mouth is
yes.
just you know. But number two. I'm going to go Snickers and number three,
oh,
Twix.
Come on.
I had slept on
very
Snickers
nice.
My whole life. But
very
recently,
nice list.
But
no.
honestly, recently, Snickers has really gone up. I think that they've just, they're overall solid. And I think way too many people overlook them.
Fun fact, my cousin actually slept on a Snickers bar and ruined our bed sheets once. True story.
Very nice story.
Thanks for sharing.
He literally slept on them. And my top three, classic Hershey bar,
oh.
classic
whoa,
Kit Kat.
Whoa. Go back. Go back.
Classic Hershey bar.
The very best candy is classic Hershey bar.
Look, I see the argument. It's classic.
Kit Kat, M&M's.
If I wanted just chocolate, I could buy like a bag of chocolate chips from the store and just go like,
oh. Hershey's chocolate is different. Hershey's chocolate is built different.
The Green Lantern chocolate bar.
On the scale of chocolates, Hershey's is like bottom tier.
No way.
Okay.
I mean, there's no such thing as like
bad. Oh my God, Milton Hershey invented chocolate, and you are going to besmirch his good name by
literally a whole park for it.
Through this heresy.
Have you ever had Dairy Milks?
Dairy milks?
I've had milk from a cow, yes.
They're just 10 times better than Hershey's.
Oh, you're tired. Oh, my Cadbury's.
Wait, our Hershey bar.
I need my Cadbury's.
We're talking about Hershey bars now?
Because of the way that American chocolate, especially Reese's, is made, a lot of foreigners think it tastes like vomit due to the acidity of the chocolate in American chocolate. And, like, they don't think that about their Cadbury's, but
Reese's.
When they have a Hershey's.
Well, Cadbury's are better, Reese's. Though.
No, but, like, it's like they like foreigners think American chocolate tastes like vomit due to the acidity.
I mean, if you've never had, like, good chocolate
those Americans
from, like, there, it's
and
it's
their
so much
vomit
better.
Bars.
Yeah.
Vomit bars.
Okay, move on, Matt. Let's see what 2 and 3 are.
I saw a combination. Kit Kat bar. M&M's.
M&M's
up there.
Honestly, M&M's kind of fall out. I used to love them as a kid, but I just don't really. I like peanut M&M. I like any not regular M&M. I don't really like regular M&M's that much anymore.
I think it's something you grow out of.
Yeah.
Oh, this is awesome.
I grew into Skittles more from M&M's.
Interesting. So that.
Is there anything you like to say? Grow out of my third favorite candy.
Nope. Didn't hit. And on that note, that concludes Colts Corner, Season 5, Episode 2. We'd like to take this time to thank Mr. Doxy, Mr. Rashudi, Dr. Catapano, the administration of the class of 2016 for their generous donation to our podcast setup and our listeners, including LeBron James, every Thursday. And we will see
you. Goodbye, Saris.
Goodbye, Saris, and we'll see you.